Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
How do I sound now? Sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
And it's another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. And keep in mind, y'all, we're now on YouTube, the Athletic Basketball Show. Check it out. We get episodes. This will be up there on Wednesday. Our man Marcus Aldridge, that's my cousin LaMarcus. Man Marcus Thompson with the salty 49ers.
Play cousin. I'm in the building, D.A.
You're in the building. Damn.
They just had locker room clear out day, and I don't know why. I didn't think about it, but I grabbed a red hat that said victory. So I was low-key trolling the whole franchise in there. It was inadvertent, but it was classic.
All right, so I had to take a shot at your boy Shanahan. How are you going to be blocking Hassan Roddick with a tight end, man? What's up with that?
Not. It's worse than that. He didn't just block it with a tight end. He actually has a tight end who could block that dude. His name is George Kittle.
Right.
That wasn't the tight end. That wasn't the tight end.
He didn't get the assignment.
You know how coaches are, man. They have a package, dude. They have a package.
Right.
We're going to run our package. And – yeah, there might be this otherworldly pass rusher this time when it's normally just like a regular dude. So we're going to run our package, man. This is the package. We call the play. This guy runs out. Nobody was like, hey, wait a second. Hold on. It's somebody different over there. That literally cost them the season. That's
what I'm saying, man. Like, that wasn't just like I'm going for it on fourth and one. That was catastrophically bad decision making that ended any chance they had to get into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's literally what it cost them. Like, it literally cost them a Super Bowl bid, right? That's crazy. Six plays into the game.
Right.
Tyler Croft.
I'm not even mad at him. That would be like asking me to lift 600 pounds. I can't do it, all right? Like, there's some things I can't do. That's one of them.
I'm sure he feels like he could have made that block. It's just Hassan Reddick. It's just,
I'm not mad at the dude at all.
Reggie White or nothing.
Right. I'm not even mad at that dude. Man. All right. Let's get our guest in here, man. We wanted to make sure we had somebody that knew what they were talking about. So we went into the playbook. We found our guy, Bastien Fontenot. He is the co-founder of the hottest hoop site in France, trashtalk.co. Is that what I got that right, Bastien?
Oh, you can say trash talk. It's fine, man.
Trash talk. I like how you named it trash talk from the beginning. I like that.
So, gotta give the people what they want, man. That's how it is.
All right. Well, man, we wanted to talk to you specifically about Victor Wembanyama. As you know, everybody in the world, but especially here in the States with the NBA folks, just, you know, the ones that hadn't seen him before. When he came here and they played Ignite in those two exhibition games last fall, just got blown away. But his season, you know, his season's been going on. He's playing for the Metropolitans 92 this year. And so we wanted to get your take on how he's doing so far and what the translation will be. He's obviously going to be the number one pick. There is zero doubt about that. He's going to be the number one pick in the draft, no matter who takes. No matter who's
I don't
there.
Know.
We oh, come on. Nah, come on, man.
All I'm saying is apparently Scoot is playing in the Legends game, an all-star. Rising Stars game. I don't know. What if he scores 60 and wins over?
Then he'll be the highest scoring number two pick in history.
I can bounce back on this though, Marcus, because when there were the two games in October, it was the first press conference for Victor in the U.S. and he was asked about Scoot Henderson, and he was like, "Yeah, that guy's pretty good, but he would be number one pick if I was never born."
That's, yeah, I do remember he said that.
That's what he said. That's what he said, straight up.
Listen, we got to keep some level of suspense going, like a modicum. Can we just keep one little ounce? Can we keep this? Can we not know? Like,
you want this to be like draft day when my man takes Vontae Mack and on the sneak? Nobody knew.
the draft don't even matter. It's all about the draft lottery. I mean, that's it. We're done. Man. We're done in May at this point.
Right. So Bastien, what he's playing for Victor Collet, who's like a legend over there, coached the Olympic team in France, and has really been one of the main reasons why French national team has really come on the last few cycles and will, you know, is going to be a factor going forward for some time to come. What's the coach trying to get him to do? How's he showcasing him? Showing not only trying to win the game they're playing, but also kind of showing NBA scouts his whole game.
I think the top priority was freedom, because he didn't start at Metropolitans. He was last year with the Tony Parker club as well. Yeah. And he didn't have that much playing time, that many responsibilities. So I think the first thing that was hand in hand between the family, the coach, the agency was give him as much freedom as possible. He has to work out. He has to face single, double, triple coverage. So he's been given really the freedom to just try different things. And we see all these different moves that end up on all those highlight pages and everything. But I've seen him up close, and you can see that if they were losing, it would be an issue. But they're actually second in the whole competition in France. So he's been trying everything. And the coach, Vincent Collet, as you mentioned, he's going to have him for the French national team. So I think it's a hand-in-hand partnership where they feel like he has a few months to start doing things that he's going to face real adults in the U.S. So that's how I see it.
So can you explain for our listeners, like, what lab was this guy created in? Like, what?
That's
like, how does this happen?
So yeah, I mean, it's really crazy. And you guys haven't seen him in person yet, right?
Not in person. No,
not in person. No,
that's, I mean, we've all seen some guys, and you've seen plenty. I mean, DA, you've seen everyone. We've seen some guys here in France, and he's different. He's more in the Kareem mood, where you see those really, really tall giant people. And so I think it's important to remember that his father is actually 6'8". Mm-hmm. And he's been in sports, triple jump for a whole lot of years. And his mom was playing basketball, and she's my height. She's like 6'3". And so
his granddaddy played hoop too, right? Didn't his grandfather?
Yeah, as well. So first and foremost, he's from a sports family. That's the first thing. His tall sister, his big sister, she's playing basketball. She played with the French national team. His younger brother, he's as well playing sports. So I think it's a mix. How do you say it? He's a winner of the genetic lottery, that's for sure, because he got those things aligned. But I think the most important thing, and I wanted your guys' take on this, is we see some freaks coming out sometimes in the drafts, but they have all this kind of growth spurts where they're like 14, and all of a sudden they get big. Like we seen with AD, and this guy was like a point guard, and all of a sudden he's like a center and a power forward. I mean, Victor was like 6'1 at 10. He was 6'1 at 10. And he was, so as you always say, and we've been able to talk about this, he's it's not a surprise, his body. He's been in his body this way for a long time. So when you see him talk, he's like, I grew about 1 inch in the last 2 years, because he's always been tall. So he was the tallest and the tallest. So it's not one of those guys that kind of has to learn how his body feels. He's good at running. And one quick story, his father really early on saw the potential and how good of an athlete he could be. So he taught him how to walk and run. And these are the fundamentals. I mean, you guys talk about the Zion and everything. Sometimes it's just the walking. It's weird. So he's a winner of the genetic lottery with a family that's in sports. And he's from the lab for sure.
Plus, I mean, I hear you, right?
Go ahead.
Hear you. I got it. Genetic lottery. He plays in sports. That might produce an NBA player.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about, though. Like, I watched this dude hit a 1 foot three-pointer in transition. Yeah. Like, was his, like, childcare watching Steph Curry videos? Like,
yeah.
Like how is this dude? He's already a bit of a basketball genius.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to ask this to DA because we cover sometimes the history of the NBA from our parts in France, and you've known so much history. But the closest thing that I can see physically is probably some things that I've seen from Ralph Sampson. That's as close that I can see.
I've heard other people have said that, made that comparison to Ralph. Because remember, yeah. Ralph didn't get to do what Ralph really could do, which was stand outside and shoot. Like, he was good at it. You know, he didn't have this guy's range, but nobody had this guy's range 40 years ago because nobody took those shots, you know?
That was impossible.
I've heard other scouts and people that saw Ralph. And I saw Ralph at watching him. I wasn't covering the league then, but yes, a lot of people have said this guy is what Ralph Sampson would have been if he had been allowed to just be himself instead of having to go inside and try and post up and do things that he wasn't really good at. So,
I was thinking Joe Barry Carroll. I'm just playing. Nah.
How could you, of all people, say Joe Barry Carroll?
That's why I said it.
But it's such a phenomenon, man, because we've seen some freaks, man, and even the arrival of even Porzingis, when he came in, we were like, what's going on? Like, he's running and jumping and all that stuff, but it's kind of a fragile type of body. So he's one of a kind. And I always thought that we were blowing too much into prospects, but we're going to talk about him in details because I was really, and thank you so much again, Dia, for the invitation, but he's the absolute total package, because I think the biggest misconception that is done today is that people focus on all these athletic and physical things, but that guy got this. He got it all. He can draw, like, he's a drawing, like, kind of genius. You give him a pencil and a paper, and he's going to draw.
Freehand.
And he's smart. He's talking English like he was. I mean, it's everything is easy.
That's amazing. Plus, didn't he play handball when he was a kid?
Maybe he did because he's sports family, but his younger brother had a really interesting, like, early handball career, I would say.
Yeah. So let's get into the whole thing. I mean, because people here, you know, that do follow, you know, the game overseas, maybe don't know why he would leave Asvel, because everybody plays at Asvel, right? That's like that's the spot. Tony Parker played there. Batum played there. Everybody played there. That's the training ground. That's the program that you play in if you're a French player. But like you said, he didn't get playing time last year before he got hurt. And I just wonder, how could they have a kid like this that they know is going to be the number one pick in a couple of years and not play him? I don't understand that. What happened there?
It's a mystery. It's how you guys have done it before me. It's in process. I think we are gathering information to try to understand what is going on. I think it's a question of sometimes of power. I think sometimes players, just like Tony Parker and others before, they like to have a total control about what is going on. And I think the best way to let this guy be who he is not to have control, is to give him the freedom. So I think there was some clash behind this, but I cannot like confirm this and break news and everything. But I think the whole leaving the team has been based on the lack of freedom for this. So a lot of people have talked about this. But in the end, it was best for him and his family, and it was the right choice.
Now, the skill and, like, basketball IQ, like, really jumps off the page for me. But I'm curious, what is the potential for his body? Like, we saw Giannis come in, and he was clearly skilled, and it was like, man, if this dude gets a body, and then he got this incredible body, and we saw what happened. Is it because he's an inside-outside player, maybe you don't want too much of that? Or can we expect to see him, like, just become this physical specimen without maybe sacrificing some of that perimeter game, but also being ready to bang in the NBA?
I think the mistake would be to put on some weight. I think it's been stated a few times, either from the team or if you listen to Holger Geschwinder, who was the Dirk Nowitzki's skill coach, absolute legend,
right,
and who worked with Victor Wembanyama. And he was like, please make sure that this guy is out from the whole pushing weights and everything, because if he does this, then the temptation is there, but I think it would be a mistake. I hear the comp with Giannis. It's more a KD thing. I think when we saw KD coming in, we were like, oh my God, this guy is so skilled, but he's lanky, he's slender man. We don't know, he's the Slim Ripper. But we never, I think it was to his disadvantage if KD would have like put on some real, real weights. He got stronger, I think we can say, but he always stayed skinny to stay that mobile. So I think if I had to put a scale, he would be more on the KD fold than on the Giannis fold, because Giannis is a power player. He's a guy who's going to go at you, and he's more Shaq than KD, I think, Giannis. So I'm not going to say that he's going to stay skinny because he's going to get some weight, but I think when he's going to be at his peak, 28, he's probably going to be like lanky, skinny, more KD type.
So, DA, how is this going to work in a league full of old guys who feel like, hey, man, you're 7'4". You need to get your butt inside. Like,
yeah, but you know
like
what?
Are they going to adjust to this?
No,
or like,
no,
how's this going to work?
That fight, that battle's over, man. You know that. You know that. It's over. That battle, the
ask Joel Embiid if it's over.
Yeah, but even he, but Joel is 280. You know.
Yeah.
They never going to be 280. You know, Joel can go inside and get his. This kid ain't never going to be able. I don't think he'll ever be able to do that effectively. He can do that off a brush screen or something like that. I mean, he can do it in transition, of course, maybe a quick duck in every once in a while, but you don't want a steady diet of him trying to back somebody down. That's not his game. You know, like that's what's crazy about this dude's game. And you mentioned it, Marcus, he's shooting 1-footed three pointers. Like he practices that. Like that's not like he does that easily. He's got range out to like 28, 29 feet. Easy. Effortless threes, you know, and you have to utilize that, I think, in some way. But
yeah,
but again,
nah, the NBA, you underestimate the NBA. They have one of the main players trying to get them to do what they can't do.
I don't think, can you imagine opening night? Because he's going to play opening night, right? He's going to play opening night on TNT. Can you imagine Shaq trying to say, big fella, you need to get your ass in the post.
Yes,
big fella.
Yes, I can.
And he's going to call him a casual just like my man did last year.
But I think it's funny, though, that you say that, DA, because I think one of the things that people cannot really get prepared for is that he can be one of those we're going to change the game types. So he's going to put a lot of people in uncomfortable situations as far as what they saw and thought about basketball for so long. Just like you saw maybe some old heads when they saw like the Warriors coming with, they were like, you can't win a championship with jump shooting. This guy has the potential to say like, oh, so that's how it was played. Like, let's try this way. So it's just, when you talk about Shaq, yeah, he's going to be the first to say like, what can I say? go to the rim, because you're, and that's one of the temptations that I was talking to you about, DA, in private messages. People are going to go at him for the fact that he's 7'4" and that he can stand like that far from the hoop. That's going to be a topic for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there'll be an adjustment for sure, but I don't think it's going to take him that long, because like Marcus said, he knows how to play. That's the thing. Like he's not learning how to play basketball. He knows how to play, you know? So let's talk about the league that the Metropolitans are in. It's not the top league in France, correct?
It's the top league in France, but it's not the top league in Europe.
Yeah. Okay. I apologize for that. But it's to me, this is similar to, again, to Giannis when he came in and was playing for a good but not great league, right? And so what's the level of competition? How are they helping him prepare for the jump next year?
Well, I think it's solid. I think it's okay. It's not as good as what we see in Spain, for example, or in other countries in Europe, where you had like Luka. Luka Doncic was 16. He was with Real Madrid, and he was kicking ass at Real Madrid. And that's, to us in Europe, who are like, oh, wow. Like the last guy who probably did this was like Toni Kukoc, maybe, who was like really, or Drazen Petrovic, who was like killing everybody in the best league. So In France, I think it's all right, but it's not the top one. I think he's getting prepared just for the fact that he's facing really, as I was saying, like human, like adult bodies. I think this is the most important thing. He's facing adult bodies and he's facing half-court presence. As you guys know, in the NBA, it's so spread out. I think one of the biggest debate that we have for the last few years is that as soon as Luka came in the NBA, he was like, it is much easier to score in the NBA than it is in Europe. And that's facts. Like, because when you see, I don't know if you saw Eurobasket, but like Giannis and Luka and Jokic, they had trouble because everything is not as spaced as it is in the NBA. So I think this is good for him, not as far as the level, but the setup, the setting of the game. And so he has to learn not only to just take the ball coast to coast and dunk on everybody, which is something that's going to happen in a few months, but he has to learn how to use 24 seconds, and in this regard, I think it's good for him.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm going to give you a story back in, I think it might have been 98 or something. I don't know. I was at a AAU tournament at UC Berkeley, and LeBron, his one summer playing for the Oakland AAU team, he was out there with Kendrick Perkins and Leon Poe.
Marcus, and I just why have you not written 5,000 words on this?
God, you've changed.
You
so
have
much.
To write 5,000 words on that. Just what you just said.
I've been trying to get LeBron to talk to me about it for years. So it's coming. Okay. He's the last piece.
Right,
but
right. Okay.
I just remember, like, he was 16 or something like that at the time. And everybody in the gym knew, like, this dude was next. Like, LeBron was it. They were there to see LeBron. When did that happen in France for Victor? Like, how early did they know that this dude was next?
I think a lot of people relate to Mike Schmitz in the US about like discovering all this and putting more highlights about this. I think we had a whole lot of emphasis about the U19 World Championship. I think we knew he would be the leader of the French team. We didn't know how far they could go, but when he basically looked at like Chet Holmgren, Jaden Ivey, all those guys, and he was like, I'm the best on the floor right now.
Like, he was better than Chet. It wasn't close.
And he wasn't even close.
It wasn't close.
Yeah. Do you remember who was the best player from that team in the U.S.?
Kenny Lofton Jr. was cooking.
Kenny Lofton, man. That's
Kenny
legend.
Lofton was a problem, yeah.
If you go to France and you see us publish articles on Kenny Lofton, he's going to have more like reach and likes and articles than like some superstars. I think when it was U19, that final game was huge because you could see the game live on the FIBA channel, I think, for free. And we redirect a whole lot of people on this. And you could see like a 17-year-old kid just demolishing 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds. So that's how first people were like, oh, my goodness. It got a little bit like of hype about this. But it was more about his physical tools. And I think where everything just blew up is really the two Vegas games. I mean, in last October, to give you a quick story, last October, I had the opportunity to go to Vegas. I didn't to see the two games, but there was really a before and an after, because after this, I swear, I take a taxi, a cab, like 10 days after, and the guy turns on the radio and he's like, oh, you work in basketball? Did you hear about the Kylian Mbappe of basketball? And I was like, that's it. If the cab driver can talk about this dude, you know, like regular folks, if he can talk about this,
right? Yeah,
that's how things get out of proportion, I guess.
Yeah.
So DA, let me ask you a question. It sounds like that's pretty late from an American standpoint. Like we've been chronicling these dudes middle school, even like early high school.
It's a little late.
Is that good
later
for him? Is that good that he got it a little bit later, or
Does
it not prepare him for what he's about to deal with?
Well, it's funny you mention that. It's funny you mention that, Marcus, because that's exactly what I was going to ask Bastion about, because I love what Buna Enja, his agent, is doing, which is give it all to us. Throw everything you got at us. We got to get used to this. The media, the attention, we want all of it now. Throw it. He's not going to come in and be shy and retiring and not do interviews and not do media. And I just wonder how calculated that was, you know, from his camp to say, throw it all our way, because he's ready for it. He can handle it because he's that dude, right? Like, he's that next dude.
That's exactly why. I think it's because they know that he had the shoulders and the head to face this. I think sometimes we put so much emphasis on the physical skills and the outlook of what a player could be. But I think I knew we were going to talk about this, and I was thinking that the other day, I think a lot of Americans saw like Luka coming in and they were like, he's slow, we don't know. But he's one of the baddest MF right now in the world, and no that's
question.
Right there,
no question.
Yep. And that's the thing that's inside of Victor's DNA and his mindset. So when Buna and Jeremy Medjana and the whole ComSport team they saw this, I think that they saw a whole lot of potential, obviously for their firm, for the agency, but they also knew that it was great for him, because they've seen Ivan, they've seen Jan Mahinmi, DC legend, I can say, David Aldridge,
right.
did he just drop a Jan Mahinmi?
Oh my god! Give me some Jan Mahinmi memories.
I'm giving you Kevin Seraphin memories as well.
Seraphin was actually not. Seraphin was all right. Seraphin played for a couple of years.
So I think they saw all those players coming in, and you have to have some kind of it's a different way of doing things. Nicolas Batum, for example, was a part of that whole squad, and he doesn't have the same mentality. He's a great teammate, but he's team first, and he's like not shy, but he.
Right, but that's not his. He's not a. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you have to have a certain type of way of personality to handle this. So I think it was really a good calculators from Buna and his team, because they knew that he had to get tough skin, and that Victor sometimes can get what I call sometimes some kind of a Wilt Chamberlain kind of stereotype, which is when you're that tall and that dominant, if people start to point at you and you're not tough skinned, it can rattle you. So I think the more criticism, the more family, the more surrounding, the more hype, the better it is, because he's not going to avoid it.
Hey, I need to remind you guys, I did cover the French Jordan. Let's not get it twisted. Mikal Petras, baby.
Mikal Petras.
Yeah, let's go.
Who was playing the five with Don Nelson? He was a center.
Yes.
He was a five, man.
The friends of Jordan, man. Don't forget about, yeah.
Air France, we called him.
Air France, that's right. Air France. Yeah.
You go.
Yeah. Hey, what happened? Whatever happened to my boy that the Knicks drafted that Vince dunked on? Frederick Weiss. Oh, whatever happened to that? Weiss.
Well, actually, it's funny because I've seen him and we do some collaborations sometimes. He's commenting the French basketball for the league. So on French, he's doing it. And he wrote a book actually lately about like what he faced, like a depression and all this, because it was really tough. He was really the joke for so many years. So he's become actually some kind of an example of how to deal with this and not do bad stuff to yourself.
I am very good friends with the guy that drafted him, so I know the whole story about Frederick.
Yeah,
the whole backstory. So I want to ask you, what do you see when you watch Victor play? Forget the comparisons to whomever. What is he going to be able to do on night one in the NBA? Like game starts, balls tap. What does he do? What is he going to do to impact a game immediately at the NBA level?
The floor of Victor is possible, like all defense every year. That's the floor. That's the floor because to have that kind of mobility and a way of reading the coverages and the different matchups and being able to use your hands and not like block and jump as the kids sometimes do. He knows how to use his fouls. I think there is a path where he's like, fuck it. I'm not going to score.
It's a podcast. You can say that.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, he can say bleep it and I'm not going to score. And then he could be a defensive force right now, because he can switch 1 through 5 and he can cover the best of them. Obviously, when there is a Joel Embiid in town, he's going to get hammered in the post. But I think that's the very least. And then I'm scared because of the openness of the NBA game. As I was talking about the Luka Doncic, I think he can be like a real cornerstone offensively. And it depends so much. We are really scared right now about the teams that are at the bottom of the standings, because he can be all that, but there is also a scenario where the wrong coach and the wrong management makes him one of those Miles Turners of the world. And I'm not going to diss Miles Turner, but I'm just saying, don't use as well what he is. And that would be absolutely horrible. So an amazing defender with the ability to just be a 20-point scorer first year. That's just the floor, I would say.
All right. So in honor of, you know, you and, you know, the content you create, how is Victor's trash talk? How's he going to deal with, you know, the inevitable Dylan Brooks or whoever is coming?
Yeah, Draymond.
Draymond.
I don't think he's absolutely not the type of putting a forearm on someone and just saying like, don't, that's it. That's probably gonna play him sometimes, just like Dirk was when he came into the NBA. He was, you could push him around, but don't be fooled by that face, man. Because really, when he said that Scoot Anderson would be a number one pick if he was never born, and 24 hours later he put like 34, 17, and 5 blocks. When you can do this,
yeah,
I'm sorry, you can back it up. And when you can back it up, I think he's going to do a little bit of trash talking, but it's going to be more like, you know, that too small thing. He's going to do it to everyone.
I mean, you can say that to everybody.
He can do it to everybody.
That's not even fair.
Except Gobert is the only guy who can't say it.
Because if he won legs.
I want to see a young dude take him off the dribble and go, too big. He's too big. He can't.
Right. So if he does a one-leg three-pointer in the face of like a Gobert or Jokic, he can do like the too small, because it's actually true. So he's good at trash-talking, but he's also really well-spoken. So I think he's more in the Steph kind of way. Like, you don't really see it, but he's actually doing it, like trash-talking.
Yeah.
And then Steph gives you this.
So he wouldn't fit on the Grizzlies.
I don't think he's going to go to a sleep thing. But
so he wouldn't fit on the Grizzlies. He wouldn't just automatically start talking trash. You got to talk to him, and then he'd respond. Oh, okay. I kind of hope he was more like Ja.
Just talking shit for a minute.
I think he's more. I think Ja and Luka are at the very top. Like they talk shit like every single second. But he's more. Well, it can be, he can be more in the. I wouldn't be surprised if he was a KD type, like the really like. I don't know. I don't have the word, but it's. How do you say he's remembering stuff that you said two or three years ago, and now he's.
Oh using... yeah, that's the KD Steph mode.
Oh yeah, yeah. Where they just Oh, he'll spite it now.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, he'll remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Long ass memory. All right, so what teams do you think would not work for him? At the teams that are at the bottom right now, because I'll tell you what, I'd be fascinated if he went to San Antonio, not because of the Parker thing. I'd just like to see how Pop coaches him. I would just be curious, like what do you do with him? I don't know.
That's my pick, and because they don't have that much. No disrespect to Devin Vassell and Kelvin Johnson, the worlds, but he would be perfect for him. I would be scared if he went to the Rockets. Because I think it's already a process for Alperen Sengun to have some kind of freedom with Jabari Smith. Yeah. I'm kind of scared to have a coach who's giving the ball to like shooting guards who are jacking up shit for like 48 minutes. I'm sorry. But I would be kind of scared. And people in France are fascinated by the LaMelo Ball, Victor Wembanyama combo. With the
really?
Hornets. Yeah. 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 But I would be more San Antonio, and I would be. I'm not a huge Dwayne Casey fan. As far as
you can't talk about my man Case though.
No, I know. But as far as driving a team, I would have some doubts. He's been really good at developing players, but I would put my money on the Spurs, and I would definitely not love the Rockets.
The Spurs. Let's see, they've been in the lottery what three times in the last 40 years and got number one.
Yeah, they cannot get him. They can't do it. Like,
why not?
It's a frozen envelope at that point. Like, you get Tim Duncan, David Robinson, and come on, man. Like,
come on, that doesn't seem fair. So
yeah, come on. It's not.
It would be good.
You know though. You know where he needs to go. Come on. We all know where he needs to go.
Where is it?
He's going to play with Steph. He's going to play with Steph. Come on. I want to cover a great one. I'm sorry.
Haven't you been covering a team for the last decade?
I don't want to. Now you want me to go back? No.
But would you go back to Monte Ellis?
Yeah. But there is the whole scary scenario of like the Lakers pick falling down and then it ends up with the Pelicans. And that's the thing. Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
you think that's good, right?
I'm not sure.
Really?
Oh, no, because then it's
that would be stupid. There's already stupid Zion. Good.
You're a sidekick. Victor is not a sidekick.
I wonder where
he say? Don't be calling him Ringo. You calling him Ringo? Ringo,
I feel like wherever he go, he's no longer the sidekick anyway. But it's only a matter of time. But does he play like the positions or whatever? Can he play a perimeter spot and then you play a center with him, or he's gonna play center and you're just gonna have like a center who can be out on the perimeter? Like, how do you see him positionally in the league?
I wouldn't be surprised if he was a four. I would be surprised if it was a four because of the banging. And I think we've seen some teams try to do the whole, let's have like a bruising five who does all the nasty things that we don't want to do. And that guy is going to be on the perimeter and doing all these things. So I think it's going to be a four. But he could be a two. Actually, like he could be.
I know
a
that's
five
the thing. Like you ridiculous. Can put him in.
Dude, did you see him coming off a pin down? It's like what?
That's
a cheap fading corner three, bro. Like this dude is Klay Thompson. Like,
I think that when we saw KD having all those curls like on OKC early OKC, and he was like catching the ball at the free throw line, and he was done. I mean, he could do this and that would be effective. So, and he could be a catch and shoot, but that's why I was telling you, DA, the only scary thing that I have personally, apart from the physical side, is what I call Michael Porter Jr. laziness, as I was telling you, which is you're talented, you're seven something. Don't stand like the entire game away from the basket. You got to go inside.
Yeah. I do wonder. Okay. Go ahead, Mark.
how is his? I mean, we've seen him against, like, you know, obviously players he's not better than, but, you know, get the ball on the wing, one dribble to the cup. How has that part of his game grown over the years? His ability to get to the rim and finish there through contact.
I think right now it's less finishing with the contact. I think what he likes is one dribble pull up, because you can do anything. So, or he backs you down and he does a turnaround fade away. But he's going to be more going to the basket on pick and roll situations, where he's just puts his hands up and he's like, all right, just throw it up and I'll catch it and finish with contact. So he's not really, I'm taking the ball and I'm going to do a full dribble and then putting my elbow on your chest and finish N1. He's going to be more like, okay, I see this. Let me turn my back. And if I do right shoulder spin, fade away, I got the glass so I can have an N1. This is more what he's doing. I'm not sure that he's going to be Giannis this way, which is get the ball, dribble, go to the hoop, N1, everyone shut the hell up. That's Giannis in a microcosm. So I don't think he's going to be like this for Victor.
I do wonder if I was thinking about if he got to OKC, like, could he and Chet play together? Is that possible?
Yeah. I think they could be 4 and 5s. I'm not sure this will be perfect, but I have no doubts that they would be thrilled to have the two of them. So, because both of them can defend on the perimeter. So what are you gonna do? I mean, it's the whole 7'4" wing, and we don't even talk about the wingspan, because it's like 7'8" or 8 feet. I don't even know what's the wingspan is. So
it's insane.
Yeah, I can't wait to find out in the combine.
This is insane.
I want him in Orlando. I'm sorry.
Orlando? I could see that. Orlando would be great, because that would be good. I would like that too, Marcus. That would be ridiculous.
I'm really, really just already happy for you guys for the first time where you're going to see him, because I think you remember the first time you see Victor play. I really do. I think it fades.
Well, I went out to cover LeBron's first game in Sacramento, and he's lived up to everything. Like, it's lived up
exceeded.
To everything. I think I've told this story before, and I don't think I'm not blowing any confidence now. Dumars is the first guy that told me about LeBron when he was 14. Cause we were talking about the draft. This was like the 2001 draft, probably. So that would have been the Kwame Brown draft, I guess.
Yeah.
And I said, who do you think is going number one? And Dumars goes, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, what do you mean it doesn't matter? It's like, because the best player in the world is 14 years old and he plays in high school, and he just started high school in Ohio. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, I'm telling you, he's the best player I've ever seen. He was 14 years old. So, and he lived up to all of it. And I wonder, I mean, I hope Victor lives up to all of this, because there's not been anything like this since LeBron in terms of the hype.
Yeah, it's why people are shaking now in France, because they say, should we jump on the wagon, or are we making too much out of this? It's really putting people in uncomfortable places, because it pushes you to really believe to the fullest and jump on the wagon or not. I'm from those optimistic. I'm like, let's ride the wave, man. This is incredible. We're not going to see this for another 10, 20 years. So let's go. And I'm so confident in this kid that I think we see Marvel specimen physically, but they don't have it in their minds. They don't have it. He's got it. Like, when you see Trey and Luca from the same drafts, and they're like drafted after the Marvin Bagley's and all guys, because, and the DeAndre Ayton, because they're not as physically gifted. Right now, the debate is done. These guys have it. Like, they have that edge. And so I think he has the ability to have that kind of hype. I think the more fascinating thing is that he has to fill some kind of Giannis shoes, which is global icon, because Steph is an American. I mean, Steph is a global icon, but he's from the US.
Right.
And I think Giannis is the real first, all right, Derek, thanks. I'm just going to propel this to another level. Luca is trying, but I think Victor wants to fill this void.
Damn. He wants to be that dude.
Man, that's heavy, bro. That's heavy. That's heavy. That's a heavy thought.
Yeah.
Can he rap? I don't want to see him on no rap album. I already heard Tony rap. I don't want to tell him cut that out already.
What was the Kobe one? What was the Kobe one? Oh, God, it was so
with
awful.
Kobe,
it was so awful.
With Tyra Banks, though.
It was horrendous.
Remember AI? I don't want to tell him to cut that out.
With Jadakiss and all that? Yeah. No.
Oh, God.
No, wow. He's more going to play with a Rubik's Cube than anything. He's that guy is, when you see Giannis coming in sweatpants and just going to the gym, he's that mold. He doesn't care about the whole GQ thing and all that. He wants to hoop.
Damn, I love this. I can't wait to see this guy. I can't wait to see this guy. I will go wherever he is for night one. Yeah. I don't care.
Wow. I want to see tickets this guy. Because we're going to be a whole lot of us, man.
I know. Well, Boston, I appreciate it, man. It's late where you are at, man, and I appreciate you staying up. I know you do this every night because you're young and you watch ball, and I appreciate that. I respect that, but it's still late. So I know you could have had other things to do on a Tuesday besides do this. So I appreciate it, bro.
Actually, I want to thank you so much because as I told you, I mean, I grew up just watching you on the sideline and doing all kinds of different things. It's a moment to tell you that you give also kids like me really far in France, the passion to do what they like, which is talk about basketball. So thank you for that invitation. It's just to send you back to what you gave to us.
I appreciate it, man. Hopefully we'll have you on before the draft. We'll talk some more about
just hit me up. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I need to ask you about CD. How you say his name? CD Sissoko?
CD Sissoko?
Yeah, that's what we need to spend a pod talking about. Best player coming out of France since Mikael Petras.
Yeah.
No, I want to do the US
and we'll talk about him, Marcus.
I want to do an hour on Mbappe. Good Lord.
Killian is there. That's my guy.
Jesus.
Man.
Yeah. I'll do that. That was a pleasure to watch him. I'm not no big soccer guy. That was a pleasure to watch.
Is he coming to Premier League? Is he coming to Premier League? Or he's staying in Paris?
PSG? No, he's staying in Paris. It's fine.
Did he resign?
But the thing, though, he's staying in Paris. I heard the pod where DA, you were talking with Marcus about the whole final against Argentina, and we were amazed about his performance. But linked to Wembanyama, those two are really linked. They know that they are the face of sports in France for the next decade. And so Kylian actually, he has a video company. He wants to create content for the NBA. You can look it up. They signed a contract with the NBA to do some content. So don't be surprised if Mbappe and Victor are doing some stuff together.
Okay. We'll look for that. Appreciate it.
I hope we give Kylian a too little.
Yeah. Too little.
Right. Oh. All right, y'all. Leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine American podcast. Hey, Marcus, man, if they can't leave them 5 stars, what they need to do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters. We'll make sure you never get to watch Victor.
Exactly. We'll make you block Hassan Reddick.
That's cold blooded. I'm not wishing death on him. I just don't want him to enjoy Victor. That's it. You're wishing death on people. Blocking outside already. Come on, right, man.
We're out.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.